everyone. I'm Lori Casto.
And I'm Randall Casto.
And welcome to the Created to Soar podcast, brought to you by Wedgwood Estates in Mansfield, the area's premier senior residential community. Well, you know, I'm kind of excited. Last week we got on, we talked about revival. And then after we were finished, I said, honey, let's do it again if you want. And you said, yeah, let's talk about the compassion of the Lord.
That's right. Out of that revival discussion that we had, we noticed that in Psalm 85 and Habakkuk 3, where the writers are asking for revival, they also showed in that same passage, in that revival, show us thy mercy, O Lord. And in Habakkuk, it says, in wrath, remember mercy. And revival is a mercy. It's the Lord bringing people back. So what better thing to speak of in a time of revival is remembering the mercy and compassion of the Lord.
Yeah. And, you know, I, in true fashion of what I do, I got off and when we were talking about the compassion of the Lord, I started looking up scriptures and I came up with words like goodness, mercy, loving kindness, grace.
Yes.
All those words were interchanged in all the scriptures that I looked up. And I found that very, very interesting that goodness and mercy and loving kindness and grace all were bottled into all those verses.
That's right. And the verse that that really speaks to me on this is found in Psalms. It's Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. I have a word study Bible, and it will give you the Hebrew words for these, and it's just amazing what it said about these words. The word for gracious, the word study, it shows the Strong's word, but it says this word is used solely as a descriptive term of God. The Lord used this word when he revealed himself to Moses as one who is above all else, merciful and abounding in compassion. The word compassion here is an adjective meaning compassionate, merciful. It indicates a merciful and forgiving character and attitude. It is an important word defining the character of God, and every use is in reference to God. And so you, just like Lori said, the words mercy, compassion, being full of grace, those are attributes of God, and they're all interchanged, but it really shows us, in my belief, God's greatest attribute is love.
Yes, and that was the biggest one that came from all of that. It all boils down to how much he loves us.
Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, in 1 John, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. You know, we know that God is all able. He's able to do anything. He's all powerful. But the Bible never says God is power. But it does say God is love.
Right. And in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes. When we go to God, we really don't have to have faith to believe in God's ability. Because just know God, everybody, anyone that's not an atheist believe that God is able, he's all powerful, he can, but it really takes the faith for his willingness. And when we read in the Bible, his power is to usward. It's to usward. It's for us who believe, Ephesians 1:9. Did you have anything to say on that? It looked like you're gonna.
Oh, no, I was just listening.
When we see the willingness of God, and I think this came up in the group that we had after church, and I was reminded also, our church gave us asked us to come up with a word for the year, and I guess I had been studying that psalm, and so the word mercy had come up to me, and we didn't know of the revivals in the school coming up at that time, but it just seems to merge with the thought and the feel of revival and the mercy of God. And you see in First Chronicles where he yearns to help us and come to us and deliver us. And it says in First Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. And, you know, willing, that just knowing that he's willing It might not even be a strong enough word to describe God, because in Micah 7:18, it says he delights in mercy.
Oh,
he's
yes.
not willing. He delights in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, I always have to go back to the scripture in Lamentations. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not.
Oh, that's excellent.
They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I'm like, wow, every day his mercies are new to us, and his compassion never fails us. And isn't it wonderful right. to know that his compassion is on our side?
Right.
Which leads to mercy and loving kindness and grace and goodness.
And you, what did yeah. you say? They're new every morning?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every single morning when we wake up, his compassion is brand new.
And you know they're exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask
or imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
It is. It's wonderful. It really is wonderful. And in Exodus 34:6, it says, "Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth.'" And that is our God. And in Psalms 103, we know Psalms 103, but verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness." And it's just, it's awesome to be able to saturate ourselves in the word, to see all of his mercy and his grace right. and his goodness and his loving kindness, all of it.
Oh, exactly. You know, I think it was Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:3, he called him the father of mercies. His mercies are the plural. You yeah. know, we always know of the mercy to save. And that's a wonderful thing. That's the most important, just to save us from sin and bring us into the family of God, that we're born again and have eternal life. That's a wonderful mercy. But he's the father of mercies.
Yeah.
It's just not one.
Yeah. And in Psalm 23, surely goodness
right.
and mercy shall follow me. Follow me.
Right.
It like follows me everywhere I go all the days of my life, so that I can dwell and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's amazing. And it gets me excited to know that I can just look up this scripture and just see the goodness and the mercy of our God.
Oh, right. I looked in the New Testament to see Jesus, and I just found a few examples where it didn't seem like Jesus was doing this to show his divinity, you know, and he is divine. He's God. But when you look at these examples of Jesus interacting with people, it was to show his mercy. It was these acts were done because of his mercy, his loving kindness, his compassion. We see the leper in Mark 1:41 that asked him, he said, "I know you can heal me if you want to," or, you know, he was questioning his willingness.
Yeah.
He knew he could,
yeah.
but he said, "If you will." And what did it says, and Jesus moved with compassion.
Yeah.
Moved with compassion.
And you know, yeah, that's exciting that you bring that up, because I have to bring up, because I always do, because it's taught me so many life lessons. But I was looking at this scripture in Psalm 37. It's like pretty much my cornerstone verses All right. that I go by. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and am now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful. He's merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed." And I every time I look at that scripture, I think of my father. And when I was looking up this whole thing about loving kindness, the compassion of the Lord, the goodness of God, his grace, his mercy, all of it, I just couldn't help but think of my dad. And I remember I would scroll through, my dad had an iPad, and I would scroll through and I would see all these fun pictures of the grandkids, videos he would make of when they were playing games and how he was the winner and they were the loser. It was just all kinds of fun things. And I would scroll through, and every time I would get to this one picture, and I would just stop, because it was just this horrible picture of his toes. And it was amputated toes that were unbandaged, unhealed, amputated toes. I say, "Dad," and I did this like two or three times, like at different times, you know, throughout a period of a few years. And one time I said, "Dad, I've got to erase this picture. I cannot stand to look at this picture among all the rest of these pictures." And he said, "No, you're not going to yeah. erase that picture." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because it reminds me of where the Lord brought me from."
Yeah. Isn't that great?
It is great. And that's yeah. the compassion
that
and
testimony.
The mercy of the Lord that we have, because he knew what my dad knew is he almost was never going to walk again because they were going to amputate to his knee. but the Lord had compassion and mercy on him and only made him, they only needed to amputate his toes after everyone said otherwise,
right.
And he was able to walk again. And that is the mercy of the Lord.
It sure is. Yeah. And you know, when the leper says, if you will, and what did Jesus say? He was moved with compassion and he said, I will. And that's God's big I will to
Amen.
Everyone.
Amen.
It's no respecter of persons.
Oh, no.
I will, be thou clean. And then you go at Jesus in Matthew 14. He saw the great multitude. And what? He was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed them. He was moved with compassion. Matthew 20, you had the two blind men. And they heard that Jesus passed by. What'd they say? Have mercy on us.
Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me.
Exactly. And everybody's told, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. But they're not going to be quiet. Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus said, What will you that I should do to you? And they said, O Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And that was the mercy. He goes, have mercy. They wanted their eyes opened. And it says, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him.
Wow.
And there was one more on these examples, and then on just that mercy, we had the demoniac of Gadara. I mean, the wild man, and no one could contain him. And, you know, you had the demons ran into 2,000, the pigs, right?
Yeah, and the pigs.
And they went and drowned themselves. But at the end, he wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus, you know, wanted his testimony in that area. And it says, howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. It was the compassion of God Almighty that drove those swine out of that man and delivered him.
And I think it's just awesome because just as you're sitting here talking, I'm thinking, who better to have compassion on me than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who can actually do something, who can actually do something on my behalf and that really does care, you know, because every now and then you get into this thing and nobody, you know, no one cares, but we have the compassion of the Lord on our side.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that verse in Psalm 45, what does it say? It says the Lord is good to his friends. The Lord is good to just a few that he picks out.
Good to everyone.
It says the Lord is good to all. And when I see that, and we talked about this last night because I say, where is that? I got to find that again. Naaman the leper. Naaman the leper in 2 Kings 5. Now here was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man, the Bible says, and he was a leper. And now, this Syria was an enemy, you know, and this man had gone into Israel and taken slaves. And one of them was a little maid that he had for his wife. So he went into Israel and took someone. You know, can you imagine someone coming out of Mexico or Canada nearby and grabbing some American citizens and taking them? That's an act of war.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
But that's what he's done. And the little mistress said, would God my Lord were with the prophet. He said to the mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy. And this is a girl that was stolen. And she sees that the guy that took her has leprosy. And she says she wants him to go back into Samaria to get healed. And it's an absolute. It's not that he might look for healing. He might get healing. Maybe the guy will heal him. No, there's a prophet and he would recover him of his leprosy. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
She didn't say, oh, goody, goody, he has leprosy. Maybe he'll die. Get paying back for taking me, right? And the Syrians, they worshipped, if I'm understanding right, a god Dagon or something like that, like half fish, half man.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
They weren't even followers of the Lord God Almighty. So, but this, for whatever reason, the Naaman believed her and went to see the prophet, and he had to work out some pride issues, but he ended up finding his healing. And, you know, Elisha never, you know, he sent a messenger out, but he didn't say, hey, you're going to have to drop this Dagon god, and maybe you might need to return the slaves that you took out of our country, and then we'll talk about your healing. No, he just told him, he goes, go wash in the river, and you'll come up clean. And what happened? What happened when he came up clean? He didn't talk about Dagon. He says, behold, now I know there is no god in all the earth but in Israel. Yeah,
yes.
And it's God's compassion. He's good to all, even his enemies.
He is good to everyone, good to all, and it's so thankful that we can rest in the compassion of the and the mercy of our Lord. And I, when I was just thinking about the compassion of the Lord, it led me to all kinds of scriptures, all kinds of different words. But then I was drawn to this song. It says, "The mercy, your mercy never fails me. Your
right.
mercy
What's
never
the name of that song?
Fails the goodness of God."
Oh, that's a great song.
I have lived. My favorite words in the whole song. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And it takes me back to that scripture, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I can say that at 51, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've always seen the mercy of the Lord throughout my whole life.
Certainly.
And I know you can testify to that. And I know my dad and your dad and my mom and dad, or my mom and your mom, all of our family members can say, we have never seen the righteous forsaken or children's or anybody begging for bread. And we always have seen the mercy and the goodness and the loving kindness and compassion of our Lord. It's a wonderful testimony to be able to live that life. And we want everyone to live that life.
Oh, certainly. And, you know, you think, okay, well, these things were all in the past, right? But, you know, the book of Hebrews talks about Jesus' present day ministry as our high priest, Hebrews 2, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. And you Amen. Go, you just go on in Hebrews. He cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but because he was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to what? The throne of what? Grace.
Yes.
The throne, his throne is the throne of grace.
Yes, it is.
It's not the throne of come here and I hit you on the head with a hammer.
Right.
It's the throne of grace. That why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we need that now in every area of our life. But we certainly need this grace and this mercy in revival for our land. This is a dry land. It's in Isaiah. He said he'll pour water on the thirsty and flood the dry ground.
Yes.
And I believe that's a prophecy for revival.
Boy, I just had that. I had that scripture this week and I was kind of meditating on it. And that's what I love to do. I love to meditate. It's been fun for me to look up these scriptures about the compassion of the Lord, because then it gives me an opportunity just to kind of meditate and marinate. And I was using that word with you yesterday, word,
because it changes.
It bottled up inside of me, this word marinate, because what do we do when you marinate? You marinate and you soak meat in a seasoned liquid. And oftentimes it's for hours and the marinade is being absorbed into the meat. And what you do when you're in the Word, you're marinating in the Word and you're absorbing the Word. And it is used. And when you're doing this, you're doing it to enhance your life and to kind of bleed out to everyone, because I want everyone to be able to see me marinated in His Word and in the Holy Spirit, so they can look at me and say, I want what she has.
Right.
I want that for me. I want that for you.
Exactly.
I want people to be able to see that and want what we have.
Yeah. God is a life changer.
Yes, He is.
Yeah. And you see in Psalm 103, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. And it goes on to say, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting.
Yes, so good.
I mean, you can't even quantify
That's
that.
Exactly right.
You can't measure it. It's from His mercy.
It's like in Lamentations, going back to that, His mercies are new every morning. I mean, like, you could have this day and everything's terrible and you think you've just totally screwed up, and then the next day you wake up and His mercies are brand new.
Oh, that's exactly
right. Mercies are brand new.
Oh, for sure. And I've been there, believe
me. Yes.
I think we've all been there.
Yes.
Just I had a bad day. But, you know, you see, And you know now why the psalmist and also Habakkuk were crying out for revival, saying, show your mercy.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's that mercy that we need in revival for this land. And I had a few others from Hebrews where it says He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto Him by God. The uttermost. He'll save us. I mean, that's another you can't quantify. He'll save us to the uttermost, seeing that He ever lives to make intercession for them. And what is He? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today,
and forever.
And forever.
Always.
He didn't change. There wasn't an an altering of the mercy. There wasn't a lessening of the mercy. He's the same compassionate, merciful. He hasn't changed. He's the same. It's the same mercies, right?
That's right. That's right. Awesome. So where do we go from here? I'm just grateful. I'm thankful for the mercy of the Lord. All my life, he's been faithful.
Yeah.
All my life, he's been good. And I can testify to the fact, no matter, and you know, we've been through it together, no matter what we've been through, he's been so, so good and so, so faithful and so full of mercy, compassion, and loving kindness.
That's right. And I'll end with this verse, at least it's for me, unless you have more to say. The one that just came to my mind, and there's so many that people need to answer the call to the Lord, but Revelation 3:20, behold, this is Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
Awesome.
That's what he yearns to do.
Awesome.
He just wants to fellowship with us. His mercy and compassion, he just loves. He just loves.
Yeah, and it's so, you know, when you're talking to people about becoming a Christian or whatever, if they could just understand, just to be open to it, just to say, I want you, Lord. I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. And they can experience what we experience.
Oh, right.
And that's why we want it so much, because we just want people drawn to the Father. Well, thank you very much. It's been wonderful.
Oh, this has been great.
Yeah.
Now I'm souped up for the day.
That's right. Well, you've been listening to the Created to Soar podcast, brought to you by Wedgewood Estates in Mansfield, the area's premier senior residential community.